it's hopefully one that you can't take your eyes off. You know?
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
You know? So I mean, I'm not social enough to like sit here and direct conversation for a half an hour. So we'll just go ahead and get into singing.
Amen.
I can do that, maybe. We'll see. So I go ahead and grab your hymnals, turn to 299.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. Oh, yeah, I appreciate it, bro. All
right, boy, let's go. Let's get it.
Shut up. That's what you listen to. It's like every Catholic church all over.
They make me average.
I'm saying.
All right, guys. Okay, so here's the deal. So today, this is the only hymn I pretty much picked. Outside of this, we're pretty much going to just be doing all request hour, whatever you guys want. However, the caveat is if you're going to suggest a hymn and you want it picked, you have to tell me why, in the lyrics, you like that hymn. Because I find often that my favorite hymns are songs that I think are catchy, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe just a little mental exercise today. Maybe we'll take 5 minutes to actually read some words. But that's why I picked Day by Day this week. It's normally not a hymn that I've been super familiar with, but we sung it on Sunday, and you know, it's kind of been hitting me all week. Mm-hmm. We've talked about before from my last lesson, right, where I mentioned how I'm kind of one of those guys that tends to like get in my own head and think about stuff too much. And so, you know, this song is all about basically, you know, taking things day by day. You know, God will give you the strength for today. He's not going to give you the strength for tomorrow until tomorrow comes. So don't worry about tomorrow, right? And so this song's been a blessing to me, and so that's why I want to sing it today. And then after that, be thinking of which songs you guys want to sing. So I have a vocal range that does not match a hymnal, but we're going to try it. This could be the day. This could be the one time I lead singing ever. So you could witness it, you know? So, okay. All right, ready?
Yep.
Day by day,
with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I'm no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest.
When Zach asks for the number.
Yeah.
Huh? Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Anybody?
No, that's
who's got a hymn you like? Come on. Yeah, come on. Jay Woo, you got a hymn you like. Come on. Come on. You got
Jay Woo.
You got some.
353.
And why do you like that?
Leave it there. Because I have no strength to carry my burdens alone, so taking my burdens to the Lord is the easiest thing to do.
Thanks, Anna. All right. All right. Okay. Let me know if I start too deep. So,
all right, you get there.
Where are we at? 535?
355.
Yeah, that's close. Yeah.
Just start singing and make them
think. Alrighty.
If the world from you withhold all its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with me, you're fair. Just remember in his word how he feeds a little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair. Jesus knows the pain you feel, he can say that he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there.
But
Grace for even me, and broader scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name.
All right, I think we got time for a couple more. Man, these are better than anything I'm going to say. So, who's next?
You're amazing.
Anybody got anything? Hey, Jay, we've got one.
What do we got?
354. Ooh. That was really close to mine. That's also a good
one. All right, what part of it do you appreciate?
Hey, listen. Carry on, sir.
Talks about having trials and temptations and being discouraged for states of joy.
Amen. Good stuff. All righty.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry
everything
to God in prayer.
Let's raise that up a little bit.
I liked it.
That's good. End of singing. That was good.
It sounded good.
Yeah.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Well, we got
Second page.
Good? Good?
But why? Yeah, what's his why?
Yeah. Okay. What's your why, Jaden? Why is that your favorite?
I mean, we're not good enough on our own.
Amen.
Good. Preach. Alrighty.
Complete in thee no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath bought in blood for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified.
I love the Bible, the light on
tempest will strand you on some treacherous shore, what compass will point you to heaven's bright door? God's wonderful book divine. What hope for the traveler so simple and mild? A map that will guide the footsteps of his child. What sweet consolation keeps me all the while? God's wonderful book divine. I love the Bible, the light on my pathway to shine. It keeps me so happy, so always so happy. God's wonderful book divine. I'll keep pressing onward, I'll never turn back. I know with this Bible God's wonderful book divine. In case you are wondering of which book I speak, it's the only version authorized by the King. Its words are preserved through the ages of time. God's wonderful book divine. I love
packets. I'll pick them up after.
But
sit down, grab your Bibles, flip to Luke. Luke chapter 14. Volunteer to open us up in prayer. Bryson's got it. Do it with me.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time with all these amazing friends. Thank you for allowing them to be safely. Of us, Jared, in the front, that he gave us a beautiful message. And we pray, amen.
All right. I don't know how you do that with your voice, Zach. It's a gift from God. I'm already like all nice and coarse, but
amen.
That's good. That's good. So, all right. So, I'll just go ahead and get right into it. Like I said, I'm not super great at shooting breeze or anything. So, the lesson tonight is kind of one that came from sometimes you've got lessons where just things the Lord's have taught you in the past. Sometimes you've got lessons where just things you've studied out. And then there's some lessons where the Lord says, hey, I want you to learn this, and you can give it to them too. And so this is something that I've just been kind of working on recently and been noticing, and so I hope you guys get a blessing out of it. I was kind of, we've done a lot of study recently on, making sure that in our Christian walk we're actually having a relationship with the Lord, right? Not just phoning it in, not just doing the deeds. Some of Zach's messages recently have just, nailed me right in the forehead on some of those things where it's, living the perfect Christian life, but then, you know, how can you say you actually have a relationship with the Lord, right? Can, you know, an unsaved person could do the things that you do, right? And so, it's got me thinking, and I spent a lot of time thinking about how I could have a relationship with the Lord. And, you know, I kind of just, there's times where it feels like I'm hitting a brick wall with that sometimes. You're like, you know, it feels like I should have a relationship. It feels like I'm doing everything right. You know, I'm showing up to church. I'm, you know, getting some Bible time in. I'm doing some stuff. How come it feels like I'm kind of calling and it's not picking up, or it's not happening the way I kind of expect it to happen? And so a few Thursdays ago, I was walking downstairs. I think it was like when we got out early, I think, and I was like cleaning bathrooms. And so I was walking to the front closet for, you know, I don't know, grabbing toilet brush or whatever I was grabbing. And Bob was talking about the different age groups when you've got a kid, like child training, right? Like what you do when they're this old, what you do when they're this old, the different stages that they're in. And he was talking about the relationship phase. And there's an age where your kid gets old enough someday, you know, where you can then, you know, start to form a relationship with them. But, you know, what he went into before that, though, was saying that that can only happen if you go through what's called the discipline phase, right? And so that kind of just, you know, that's all I got from Bob's Thursday message, but it was something to chew on for a couple weeks. And so, you know, that's kind of been what I've been asking myself is the reason I'm kind of having a hard time with the relationship with him sometimes due to basically me still being like a little spiritual kid sometimes, right? I mean, and it makes sense, you know, if you're a parent and your kid is like constantly trying to like, you know, go turn on the stove and then stick a fork in the, you know, extension plug, right? Like, you can't spend time developing a relationship with that kid. All you're doing is just trying to keep them from killing themselves, right? So until they get disciplined enough to, like, actually, you know, not try to kill themselves, like, you can't really have a relationship with them. Or in that same front, you know, like, you know, if they can't even talk to you or listen to you, or, you know, you're trying to talk to them and they're off in La La Land, once again, you can't build a relationship with them. And, you know, I can't even relate to that yet. So, you know, something maybe you guys can relate to is, you know, even friendships. Can you build a relationship with a friend when, you know, they're constantly attacking you, right? You've all had that friend where it's like 90% of the time that you think you're your friend, but then they, like, just always, for some reason, have, like, a dig. I don't know. I was actually that friend in high school. I have bad memories of me being that guy. Not the one that got made fun of, the guy that was a jerk, so. but, yeah, and it, you know, I was surprised you don't have a great relationship when you're attacking people. Or, you know, if someone prioritizes other people over you, obviously it's hard to have a relationship with that person. You know, if you had a friend where Susie said she'd hang out on Tuesday, and then Tuesday comes around, you'd be like, hey, Susie, where are you? And she goes, oh, well, you know, Tommy wanted to hang out. And
oh,
so,
sucks.
You know, right? I mean, it's the thing that happens, you know, and that pretty much tells you that you're just not important to them, right? So that limits your ability to have a relationship with that person. And so, you know, that's kind of what I was realizing, is that there's perhaps ways that I'm being immature that are preventing me from having a relationship with the Lord, or hindering that. So that kind of led me to a search in the Bible about discipline. So shockingly, actually, I kind of expected more to show up. It's only in the Bible one place, the word discipline. And so I was kind of looking at that, and I mean, in that passage, it's good. It's basically a situation where God is teaching individuals, you know, things that they're doing wrong, right, you know, teaching them right and wrong. And so, yeah, that's discipline, right? You know, you do something stupid, your dad takes you out, and you're, you know, and that's a definition of discipline. But that wasn't quite what I was looking for, right? So then this is where I kind of went through and was looking for a different word. So, you know, obviously we've got the word discipline, right? I don't know if it's in the right place or not. I don't care. It's a good day. Okay, right? Okay, so does anybody know any other words that we use a lot in church that have the same root word as discipline?
Punishment?
Well, that's very similar. The same root word as discipline. Do we know anything that...
Disciple.
I don't know. Oh, you just... Okay.
I said disciple.
Nice, right? Discipline, right? Look at that, right? Yeah, same root word, okay? So that basically led me on, you know, I realize this is a long background for a lesson, and I apologize because this is the most boring part of the lesson. You know, bear with me. But once you realize that, okay, you know, technically, if you are studying something or following someone, you can consider them your disciple because you are disciplined to them, right? So, you know, for example, I mean, we wouldn't use the phrase like it now, but at work, you know, I'm the developer guy, and so they say my discipline is development, right? In the same way that we've got writers, and their discipline is writing. So it's kind of a thing that we study. So in that same way, you can kind of look at it as, you know, if I study after Christ, then that would make me a disciple. And, you know, I'll get into that more as we get along here. But that led me to what I was searching for, because then I went through the Bible and looked for the word disciple. And I, once again, thought there would be a lot more instances of disciple than there actually are. And there's a couple instances in a few different places, but really, the one place stuck out for me was in Luke chapter 14. And basically, at that point in time, Christ is listing off three different things that prevent someone from being his disciple. And so we are going to look at those three different things today at what would prevent us from being disciplined to Christ, and therefore preventing us from developing that relationship with him. So, you know, and once again, I was even surprised again. So I thought when I was, you know, starting to put this stuff together, I was like, okay, sweet, this will be a list of rules that I can follow, and it'll be nice, just nice, solid. You know, everybody loves a list of rules to follow. That's a lot easier than, like, having a good heart attitude or something. But shocker, you know, that's not the case in this situation. So, you know, don't tune me out thinking I'm just going to, you know, get up here and just be like a, you know, a little Nazi. You know, it's much cooler than that. Now, praise the Lord, I actually learned a lot through this study. So, go ahead. Luke 14:26 is the first time that Jesus talks about being a disciple. And he says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own wife also, he cannot be my disciple." So that in and of itself is an interesting verse. You know, it's you know, you can just take it plain and simple. For a lot of us, especially all of us old people, you guys might be the exception that have actually grown up in old paths. But for the rest of us, I've had to lean on this verse many a times when you know, I piss off my family for the sake of coming down here. You know, it's like, you know, this, praise the Lord, this verse actually comforted me a lot when I had to, you know, deal with the fact that my fifth grade brother was just bawling tears that I moved 5.5 hours away from him, right? They don't understand that stuff. My family still gets mad at me sometimes for the fact that we chose to move away when we got married. And so this verse has been a good comfort to me where it's like, yeah, no, like, I want to follow Jesus, so that means I have to, you know, put his wishes before yours. You know, so that's the easy, you know, surface level kind of look at this verse. And it's really powerful in that form. But then you kind of realize, if you sit and think about it, that honestly, this verse kind of seems like it's a biblical contradiction, right? You know, I'm pretty sure in Ephesians 5:25 it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So we've got a verse over in Ephesians that's saying, I need to love my wife. And then we've got a verse here in Luke saying, I need to hate my wife. Now, it's odd, the Bible's fake. It was written by the Illuminati. So, you know, that's the real answer. I think if you dig it down, it's obviously, it makes sense when you think about it. But what it's actually saying is that, you know, okay, so imagine we've got, like, this is, like, your, like, I don't know, love meter, right? Things, you know? And so here we're going to have, and this is a very, like, nerdy developer analytical way of looking at this. This is not how love works, but we're going to make some analogy, okay? So here's like zero, right? You know, the stuff that you don't really care about, but it's like whatever, here it is, you know? And so,
yours,
you know,
my zero is a lot lower than that.
Yeah, well, you know. So there's zero, you know? And so maybe down here we'll have, you know, like, I don't know. What don't people like?
The cheese.
Cheese? There you go. I probably put that idea on the wrong one. You know, and then, like, probably at the bottom, I mean, I don't know, you can put whatever else you want. You probably got, like, I don't know, you got, like, Hitler, right? So, there's your, you know, just, like, don't like him, right? So, I don't know, we got a scale of zero to Hitler on this side, probably, something like that. And then, you know, up here we got stuff, like, you know, maybe I've got coffee right there, and then, you know, but then we've got, you know, maybe, let's go. You know, that's your good friends, right? And then up here is like your BF, right? It's the graph, right?
Are you assuming it's gay?
It's, you know, it's good, right? So, like, you know, your BF, you know, you're growing up. And then maybe here at the top of this, you've got, like, I don't know, family.
Why is it the word on top?
And then, you know, for me, we've got, like, wife, right? You know.
That's good. That's good. No boy got it.
Jared, why isn't the Lord on top?
Well, hey,
what did you know? No, I'm sorry. I'm just like, no, it's that's some genuine question.
Exactly. Because
I've been there before.
Yeah, exactly. So,
sorry. I'm just waiting.
So here's kind of what I learned from this situation, right? So, if I'm supposed to hate my wife and love my wife, right? So, if this is how far, let's think about this. Let's get really analytical here, right? If that's how much I like the difference between my wife and Hitler, right? Like, that X, right? Then if I'm supposed to hate my wife compared to the Lord, think about how high the Lord has to be up here in order for that same gap to be on the other side. Now, I realize that was a stupid analogy, but you get my point, is that technically, what he's saying is you should love the Lord so much that by comparison, even the people you're supposed to love, to the point where you're supposed to give yourself for them and die for them. You're supposed to supposed to give yourself for the wife like Christ loved the church, right? That's the most love that I understand at this point in time, right? But even compared to that, you're supposed to hate your wife, right? And so let's take a couple, deeper looks at that. I got lost. I got talking over there, and now I don't know where I'm at. Okay, so there's two aspects that I got out of that. The first one I was talking about is how much we're supposed to love the Lord. So I don't really have time in one lesson, or I feel to do it right, to do a full exhaustive study on how much you're supposed to love the Lord and how you're properly supposed to love the Lord. There's a lot of different aspects to how to love the Lord properly, but I think suffice it to say, for the sake of this lesson, I'm just going to sum up loving someone as prioritizing them in your life, prioritizing their desires, prioritizing them as a person. I mean, it's rough. It's a loose definition of love. But, think about your own life. Like, if a friend cancels plans because they made plans with another friend, obviously, it's like, who do they care about more? If I'm hanging out with friends and a family member needs me, right? Something goes, there's family emergency or something, right? I'll prioritize my family members over my friends because, I love them. That's what I'm supposed to do, right? If Hitler came and asked me to come to his art show the same night as my anniversary with Kenzie, I'd say no, right? Because it's an important night, Why? Because I love my spouse. And so, a metric, at least, of how much you love someone is how you're willing to prioritize them, right? So, once again, I'm kind of taking some liberties here, but bear with me. And so, just think about how much you love the person that's closest to you. Maybe it's your mom, maybe it's your spouse, if you've got one, maybe it's, I don't know, hopefully not your girlfriend or boyfriend. Keep it in check, guard your hearts. But, think about that and, think about how far that is from like your average Joe Blow, right? Think about how much you would be willing to sacrifice for that person, how much you'd be willing to go out of, if your mom or your best friend or your sister or the person that you care about asked you, hey, can you do this for me? Right? You'd do it because you care about them, you love them. If something I do pisses Kenzie off, right, then I'll probably just not do it because I care about it. So, I don't know. I can't think of an example. Leaving my socks out or something, right? If that bothers her that much where it affects her day, then sure, I love her, so I'm willing to go out of my way to prioritize her opinions. I don't know. This is a dumb example. But follow me with what I'm saying here, though. And so, this is obviously a dumb analogy, but if I'm willing to stop doing something because I love Kenzie, right? Because something upsets her. Or if I'm willing to prioritize time with her during the day to make sure that our relationship is good, make sure she's getting what she needs from me, then I should be able to do that this much more for the Lord in my life, right? So, but thinking about my day-to-day life, what does that really look like? Well, I grieve the Holy Spirit all the time. There's a lot of things the Lord that upsets the Lord that I do. But for some reason, I still do them, right? There's a lot of things that, John 14:15, right? If you love me, keep my commandments, right? There's things he's told me to do that I don't do. Why, really? Probably because I don't love him enough, right? If you love someone, you prioritize them.
Amen.
You sacrifice for them. You do what it takes to put them higher than you. I make time in my day and very intentionally, and all you guys that have a spouse someday will realize that You can't have a successful marriage if you don't spend time with your spouse. I mean, that's very difficult to do if you are, I mean, you know, you can do it, you can struggle through if you have to be apart from each other for a while, but by and large, it's hard to develop a relationship if you don't spend time together, right? You know, and so I'll spend time during my day, I'll prioritize hanging out with Kenzie just to make sure she's good, but then, you know, shove God into a 15-minute box at the end of my day to make sure I can check the box so that I feel good about myself enough to not feel guilty, right? So that's kind of, you know, the first aspect of this chart is, you know, this verse saying, you know, if you don't hate your wife in comparison to me, right? What it's saying is you need to love the Lord a lot more than you think you do, and a lot more than we do, because we don't, you know, and once again, if you were to quantify the love he has for us, it would be off the charts, right? So, you know, just returning that love would be, you know, something crazy. I don't know, have you guys ever seen the sand and rock analogy? Is that a thing that you guys, anybody done that?
Yeah, in the jar.
Yeah, have you done that recently? Is that like, nobody done
that? I
was
talking about that earlier.
Okay, well, we got time. We're fine. So, yeah, funnily enough. Genre. Okay, so this is kind of how prioritizing things goes in life, you guys. And this is like the most cliche. I've seen this about a million times when I was growing up. So,
make your plan.
You know, sorry, but it's a great analogy. And here's what I'm talking about. So these rocks, I mean, all these rocks are kind of representative of how important something is in your life. So give me that. So these three big rocks, maybe that's like, you know, Bible time and prayer and thinking about the Lord, right? These are the big things that you need to prioritize in your life in order to be, you know, a disciple of Christ. And then all of these little rocks are just the little tiny things in your day-to-day life. So, you know, that's the 15 minutes that I lay on the couch and sit on my phone when I get home. It's the, you know, the meetings I have to do, work, you know, all the things in this world. And so here's how this works. If this cup is my day, right? This volume is how much time I have in my day. If I go in and I just put in as much of this stuff as I want and prioritize that, then, you know, oftentimes what happens at the end of the day when I look and, okay, I need to get God into my relationship, you go, and it's like nothing you can do is going to force it. Okay, so there you go. Maybe it's like under the line enough that that's 15 minutes. Okay, we're good, right? So that's the issue in life, is that you have to understand the world. That's fine. We can do this. I practiced this before I came here. Okay, right? So you understand the world's kind of like gas. All the things in life are kind of like a gas in the sense that they're going to take up the volume that you give them. Right? They're going to fill the space in your life. So if you go into your day with no priorities to get these bigger things in, then the world's just going to fill it up. It doesn't care. Your flesh is happy to just do whatever it wants to do and fill up all its time doing that. I mean, you guys understand that, right? You say, okay, I'm going to watch one TikTok video, right? We all know how that goes,
yeah.
Where, you know, this new fast-paced content. Here's the thing. Everything the world promises, it's always tiny, right? The world will say, oh, you just need to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, there's never a big commitment from the world. The world's never going to ask you to do something difficult. Why? Because it wants you to spend time on it, right? So it's going to ask you to do a million little things. So if you want to get Bible time and prayer and time with the Lord in your life, then you're going to have to put those in first, right? And then you can do your day, you can go to work, you can have your 15 minutes of TikTok for the day, do whatever. And then now all of a sudden everything fits because, you know, you've already got those in there, but now it kind of can seep around the cracks and you can do what you've got to do in your day-to-day life. But the issue is if you don't have those in there prioritized off the bat with your plan for your day, you're never going to get them in because it's just the world doesn't leave room for that.
That's good.
And so, you know, that's kind of where that point pretty much leaves off. And so, you know, if you look at a lot of the big men in the Bible, right, the big boys, the patriarchs, your Moses and your whatever, do you ever want to feel bad about yourself? I mean, just go search the phrase in the concordance, like, got up first thing in the morning, or got up right away, or whatever. These guys, and now, once again, I'm not saying that your Bible time has to be at 6 a.m. every day, right? You know, we've all got different schedules, like, you've got to do you. But what I'm saying is these men, you know, think about it. If you get up early to do something, it's because it's a priority for you, right? It's something that you're like, I've got to get this in. So I can't let anything else get in the way in my day to where it's going to stop me from fulfilling this thing. And so that's what all those old men in the Bible did, is they, you know, when the Lord told them to do something, they just got up and did it because they wanted to prioritize that. And, you know, this analogy too, it's, you know, the cool thing is God's not asking us to live boring lives. He's not saying we can't go have fun with our friends. He's not saying we can't go eat Andy's. He's not saying we can't do, you know, play video games on occasion, right? But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. So, you know, he'll let you have things that you enjoy in your life, but if you put him first only. Otherwise, those things are going to kick him out.
Amen.
And so he's a loving God. He's a you know, a generous God, but you can only have those things and him if you prioritize him over them. So the second aspect of this little graph here, right? So the first thing I realized, right, was that God's way up here. That's the first observation. The second observation is that look at how far down, like, the world is down here, right? We can probably write, you know, as Christians, we hate the world. If there's one thing I can hate as a Christian, I know I can hate sin, I can hate the world. And so when it comes to being, you know, scared of the world, what it has to say, when it comes to being, you know, a witness opportunity that you're, you know, not taking advantage of, when it comes to going against the crowd, when you have a chance to invite someone to serve church, when you have a chance to turn this conversation spiritual, you know, what are you allowing you to, like, influence you? Right? So in the same way where, you know, if the Chiefs ask me to do something, you know, and my wife asks me to do something, right, I'm going to prioritize my wife over the Chiefs, right? Like, that's a good thing to do. You know, not even a question, right? Hey, if I'm hanging out with the Chiefs and my wife goes, hey, I need you at home, I'll be like, okay, cool, on my way, right? But think about how often we do stuff. We think about, you know, hey, I need to witness to this friend. I need to preach the gospel. I need to do some of those things. And then I let this stuff all the way down here stop me.
Yeah.
So I let what the world thinks about me. I let what my classmates think about me. I let what, you know, the sin in my own life, my own flesh, I let it control me. The stuff at the very bottom of the list of the things I'm supposed to care about, with God way up here, I'm putting those things way up there instead of where God should be. And so, I mean, I realize that's a kind of a drawn-out analogy in more ways than one, but just something to look at and think about the fact that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we allow to control us, worldly things, a lot of it should be a lot less higher priority than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what that leads to is just, you know, me being, generally speaking, a wimp. You know, they say, to him that loved God, but amen, if any man loved God, the same is known of him. Right, and so I had this question the other day. I was thinking about the fact that, well, yeah, all my coworkers know that I'm, you know, a Christian. Everybody knows that I love God. And then I saw it and so I hadn't thought about it longer, and I said, no, they all know I go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
that's good.
If would any of my coworkers, could they tell that I'm different from my Catholic coworker?
Mm.
I mean, probably not, right? Is there anything about my character that says I love God, or am I just the guy that doesn't drink and doesn't speed?
Wow.
You know? And so that's just been kind of convicting because, you know, for all my life I've been able to say, well, yeah, my coworkers all know that I'm Christian and, you know, scoot by scot-free on that question. But then now I'm like, I don't know if I can answer that question and say that they actually know I love God versus I'm willing to adhere to a religious system. So that first one was kind of long. The next two will be faster. So Luke 14:27. Does someone with a big voice want to read that for me while I drink some water?
And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
All right. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So, the first part, this verse, I'll break it into two parts on the comma. The first part, what does it mean to bear his cross, right? So the first thing we guys have to realize is that, you know, it's saying his cross. It's not saying bear Joe's cross. It's not saying bear my cross. It's not saying bear Bob's cross, right? It's his cross. So what this is referencing, you know, Christ's cross was his work. That's what he was sent down to do. I mean, obviously, you know, I can get more theologically technical on it, but right, that was his work that he was called to do. And so when he finished it, he said it was done, right? That was his cross. And so for you and me, there are things that the Lord has called us to do. That is our cross that we're supposed to bear. And simply put, fulfilling this is just being willing to do whatever the Lord has called you to do, whatever it takes, despite the consequences. You know, and once again, this is another one that could be drawn out into a lesson of its own. But, you know, think about it. You know the Lord's called you to witness to your classmates. You know the Lord's called you to study yourself and show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved, even when it means sacrificing some of your own time. You know that the Lord has called you to be a leader to young Christians in the church. You know all these things where, you know, like, and I'm not telling you to these as a corporate thing. I'm just talking to you as an individual. There's things that you know the Lord's told you to do, right? He's put on your heart that, hey, I need to be a part of this ministry. Hey, I need to study this thing out. Hey, I need to fix this sin in my life. There are all these things that he's called you to do. And the question is, do we have the guts to carry that? You know, I think a lot of Christians are kind of wimpy, and myself included. You know, we forget that crosses are heavy, right? So as soon as you pick up that cross, you're like, okay, I'm going to do the work. And then you're like, oh, it chafes. Yeah. I got a splinter. You know, like, right? You're upset that carrying a cross is painful, right? And so if we want to be described Christ's disciple, there's this phrase we used to use. I think it's pretty common, but in band, when it was like 100 degrees, which band, I know. Whatever. You know, okay, I didn't do sports, all right? That's fine. I do, you know. But there is this phrase we use called embrace the suck, right? Yeah, I mean, and everybody's kind of heard that in whatever sport you're doing. Basically saying, you know, hey, like, if we want to get to where we're going, it's going to stink. But we're okay with that because we want to get there. And so that kind of that same attitude in your Christian walk saying, hey, there's things the Lord's called me to do. They're not going to be fun, but I know where we're headed, so I'm willing to embrace it for right now, for a time, so that I can be in glory with him later on. And so, but the second part of that verse, though, the first part says, whosoever doth not bear his cross, and then the second part says, and come after me. So, I mean, this ties right in to that Philippians 4:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Part of being able to develop a relationship with the Lord is understanding what he went through and having some things in common with him, right? If any relationship, it helps to have things in common, right? You know, if you're, you know, it's always great when you've got a little lady you can talk to, and all of a sudden, oh, she's into the same thing I'm into. That's great. Or you know, all of a sudden you're like in a place that's uncomfortable, and all of a sudden you find the kid that's into the same weird, nerdy thing you're into, and you're just like, yes, I've got my friend, right? So it's always good to have things in common. Part of developing your relationship is understanding what Christ went through by suffering your own persecution. So, you know, being willing to go through those things, like I talked about, where it kind of sucks, right? Those things will draw you closer to the Lord because, hey, he went through that already, man. And so that point's really short. I'll leave it there. And then this last point here, like I said, we'll all see it pretty fast. So look at 14, verse 33. All right. 14, verse 33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. So I don't know if you guys have read the New Testament much. I mean, I'm assuming most of you have heard the stories, but when he called the disciples, right, what were they doing? You remember? So most of the disciples, not all of them, but a lot of them, what were they doing? Yeah, they were out fishing, right? They were doing work, essentially. Like, imagine you're in the middle of your work day. I don't know, some of you, you know, Jordan, you're out mowing, right? You're on your lawnmower, okay? And this guy comes up, and he just says, hey, follow me. And you're like, all right. You just, like, mower's still running, and you're booking it, right? That's pretty much what the disciples did. They, like, left their nets. They left their livelihood, right? Those things aren't cheap. They left their livelihood and just, like, dropped everything and went and followed Jesus.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it's pretty powerful and right there. But then God tells us to do that exact same thing. You know, so, like, this is kind of what I imagine myself as. So right here we've got Jesus. You know, it's not sacrilegious. It's a representation. We're going to give him a beard and not long hair because we're not Catholics.
No.
And then here's me with my really patchy beard, right? And so here's what happens. Oh, golly. Okay. All right. So God says, hey, follow me. And he says, hey, if you're, you know, what was that verse again? He says, it's a mouth. Where is that? I lost it.
33?
Yeah, for 33. Sorry, thank you.
So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple.
Yeah, not all that he hath, right? So the way Christ wants you to follow him is when he calls you, you just go, all right, you drop what you're doing and move on. But here's what I do. I go ahead and I get my, like, U-Haul, my little wagon, right? And I say, yeah, I'm coming, Lord. Yeah, I'm coming. And I dump in all the things that I don't really want to live without, right? So I'm dumping in my, I don't know, my sin, my video games, my bad relationships, my, I don't know, whatever else. All the things that can, you know, all the baggage, all the things in my life that the Lord's told me to drop, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm coming, Lord. And so I'm huffing and puffing and dragging that wagon and, you know, working up a nasty sweat. Meanwhile, he's just, you know, strolling along in his sandals, right? And here I am huffing and puffing, struggling to drag along my wagon of things that I don't want to give up, right? And so the issue is that if I'm like that, obviously I'm going to get tired. I can't keep up with Jesus.
Wow.
So if I have all those things in my wagon, I've got all my baggage, I've got my rucksack, whatever. I've got that on. I've got all these, you know, different things that I refuse to drop. I can't keep up with him, right? You know, as soon as he gets moving, I'm just going to get left in the dust. I'm going to see him, you know, all of a sudden it'll be 25 yards away, and then all of a sudden, you know, he'll be 50 yards away, and then 100 yards away, and all of a sudden I won't be able to see him anymore. Why? Because I'm slowed down. And so, you know, I mean, the analogy is pretty simple. You know, all this dead weight in my life are things that I can't, that keep me from following the Lord and building a relationship with him, right? Because I can't keep up with him, right? He's off moving somewhere else by the time that I've even figured out, you know, which Xbox I'm bringing. So, you know, and what's funny, and the Lord kind of, man, he's kind of sassy sometimes. Flip back to verse 28. So this is what the Lord says about people like this. When we live like this, this is what the Lord says. It says, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that he hath, or that all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." So here's basically the sassy little situation he's getting. He's basically saying, hey, if you're doing this, you're saying, yeah, Jesus, I'm going to be your disciple. Yeah, just let me grab a few things first, right? He's saying that's the equivalent of someone that, like, you know, right, okay, we're a Christian, right? No foundation was laid except that which is Jesus Christ, right? So we've got the foundation, and then we say, yeah, we're going to be your disciple, Jesus. So we, you know, we build a few blocks. Maybe we go to Bible study a couple times. We, you know, for a minute, we do what he tells us to do. So we've got a couple blocks on our little tower here. And then eventually, all of a sudden, oops, that cross gets heavy. And we say, yeah, no, that's, I'm not into that, right? I know, I don't want to do what it takes. I don't want to keep trying to build this thing. And now, look at, right? What does he say? He says, and behold, everybody begins to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Right? So, this is, I think, why people hate Christians. Amen. In the world, right? Because what's the number one thing the unsaved world calls Christians? Hypocrites, right? Because they see, right? Like, this is literally God telling you what they see. They see a guy who said he was going to do something, who said he was going to build a relationship with the Lord, who said he was going to be his disciple, and then once it got somewhat difficult, he bailed. And so now there's this half-built house, right? We've got one of those in our neighborhood where there was supply chain issues or something. They ran out of money for this house. So there's literally a house in our neighborhood that's just like half-built right now. And it's kind of just like, that's shameful, right? But that's the way I walk around with my Christian life, right? Where, you know, Christ laid that foundation, and I started putting some bricks on it. I started principle upon principle, line upon line. I started good, you know, and then eventually it starts to cost me more than I'm willing to give. And so that's what it's saying. It's like someone who's trying to build a tower but didn't realize what cost it was going to be, right? And so a lot of times when we're becoming Christ's disciple, we want all the things that come with disciples, but we don't count the cost of that. Hey, yeah, salvation's free. Yep, praise the Lord, salvation's free, but being his disciple costs everything. And we have to be willing to give that, you know, and that's kind of brought me back to my initial answer with my question of, well, how do I discipline myself, right? All these three things kind of showed me all the ways that, you know, fundamentally, why am I struggling to have a relationship with the Lord? Because I'm not fully bought in. I've got a half-built foundation, and so therefore Christ is booking it, running somewhere else, and I'm still trying to drag a bunch of dead weight with me. And so, you know, there's times I want to hold on to things of this world. There's things my flesh enjoys. they, you know, load me down, and I'm a half a mile behind Christ trying to live in two worlds. And that's where, you know, it kind of reminded me. I was like, once I finally got to this point in the lesson, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. You know, the Lord's doing some work, because it ties right back into what Zach was talking about last week, where, you know, living with 2 feet in the world is exactly what that is, or 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in Christianity, right? That's what that looks like. It's an embarrassment, is what God calls it. It says it's people mock him, right? It's embarrassing because, you know, people can see through that, and more importantly, God can see through that. And so while we're trying to live in two lives and trying to live in two worlds, you know, everybody else in the universe sees through it, even though we're trying to lie to ourselves and get the best of both worlds, right? And so, I don't know. That's just kind of where I'm at right now. It's been what I've been thinking on. But I guess my church, you all got, you know, is, you know, we know what price we have to pay, right? He said he wants everything, right? He's, you know, I need to be the highest priority. I don't care who else or what else. He said, I need to be the highest priority. He says, you need to drop everything if you want to follow me, right? So that's the price. The question is, do we have the guts to do those things, right? To actually pay that price, or are we going to just pay as much as we're comfortable and then just have a, you know, a little lean-to when we could have had a mansion with the Lord? Are we okay living in that house, the half-built house? And so, you know, kind of a challenge, I guess, you know, because that's a big, like, how do I do that, right? Like, okay, cool, let me just, I don't know, sell my house and live like a bum, right? Like, I don't know. Here's just a challenge. I guess just each day, and Miss Kenzie gave me this, just, you know, find a way to choose the Lord over your flesh or choose the Lord over your own priorities. See what happens.
Yeah.
Right? God's not a God that expects you to just blindly do everything that he says. I mean, he expects you to follow him and have faith and trust in him. But he rewards that faith with things. Right? He rewards it with spiritual blessings, right? And so if you take a moment in one of your days to just choose the Lord, say, you know what, I could lay down when I get home, but I'm going to go ahead and read my Bible, even though there's a lot of things I want to do, right? You'll get a blessing in your relationship with the Lord out of that situation, because you're cutting off a piece of dead weight you're able to keep up with, and that much more. And so that's my real encouragement to you guys, you know, and just start with the day-to-day, you know. Take out a stupid rock and throw it back in here and get something better in its place and try to rearrange those priorities, and then see what the Lord does in your life. I guarantee you, by the principles in this book, that you will have a relationship with Christ that you never could have had before. If it doesn't cost you anything, there's no point in growing, or there's no way to grow. So that's all I have for you guys tonight. It is 8:30. So I think we'll do it. We're going to sing one song before we get out of here, just because it's fun, and they're probably not done. Bob's been cooking recently, so we'll just cook up here a little longer. We'll do 368, and then Zach, you can come up if you've got anything to say. This is like one of my favorite hymns anyway, to begin with, but it kind of actually, you know, just fits. Right. And I'm glad you asked, Alex. I'm really glad. The truth be told, I love this hymn because it nails me to the wall.
Amen.
So, you know, it's this message in a song. So, yeah. So I want you guys to look through when we start singing this, especially verse 2. I mean any of these verses. Take the time to actually read them. Like, heck, if you can't read and sing at the same time, don't sing. Read the stinking lyrics, right? Okay? Hum if you have to. I don't care. But take your time. Look at this stuff. Because these songs are a blessing, and hopefully, if there was anything the Lord gave you out of this evening, maybe the next time you hear this song, it could bring something to your mind.
Amen.
So,
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon a cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. Are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? so much for me. The hours that I have wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he has done so much for me, I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior, the seed of precious life I might have sown. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he has done so much for me,
no longer
will I stay within the valley. I'll climb to mountain heights above. The world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's matchless love. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he has done so much for me.
That's a great song. I actually looked at that story of behind the person who wrote that song. And they wrote it about a man who was actually in the harbor. I think he was like up in Chicago or somewhere up north in the wintertime. And there's like a boat that was out in the harbor that was actually sinking. And so they started, like, all the people on the boat started trying to, like, basically get off the boat and escape for their lives. And there was a man on shore that saw it. And not thinking of his life, he went out there and saved about 25 different people's lives in the middle of winter. And with the wreckage of the boat was basically crumbling apart as it was going down. He threw his life away, basically, for 25 other people's lives. And as he was sitting there in the hospital, the doctor said, or the nurses could remember, only thing that he was basically saying under his breath and that he was worried about was the fact that he had done his best. This man that went out there in the freezing cold of winter to save 25 people's lives. And then the people that actually got their lives saved, not one ever came by the hospital to once thank the man that did it. But the man that gave his life for those 25 people, and, you know, went in underwater in the freezing cold, got scratched up, scarred, and beat up by the boat as it was wrecked, was only worried about if he had done his best, and if he could have done more, even though he had saved 25 people's lives. So that's a little bit behind that story.
So. Those hymns have weight. They got weight. Let's go ahead and pray, guys. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what Jared shared with us tonight. It's just good to get back there, sit back there and get fed. Lord, and that's what it's all about, just getting into your word and coming here to hear from you, Lord. And thank you for showing us that you'll show up, Lord, if our hearts are knit and we're focused on you. Lord, I thank you for that. And help us just to take what he said to heart. Lord, so many good things that were laid out for us tonight. And the main one, Lord, are we going all the way as Christians? You know, or have we found some way to measure what our commitment to God's going to be, and we found something that's convenient for us to pursue, that we feel like, you know, is comfortable? And Lord, with that, the funny thing is, we think we're fooling everyone. We're just deceiving ourselves, Lord.
Amen, amen.
Because the Lord's not just faked out by it. He sees right through it. He's not going to play around with us. He's going to put us on the shelf. And the sad thing is, the world even sees it. That's the thing we forget, Lord. The world knows Jesus Christ.
And when I say that, I mean they know the story. They know the idea of him. And when they think about Jesus Christ, they think about someone that sacrificed it all, that went all the way, that held nothing back. And it's kind of funny. It reminds me of that story back there in Acts 19, Lord, where that demon was trying to get exorcised by those sons of Sceva. And all of a sudden, these wannabes, they were impressed by Jesus Christ. They used Jesus Christ's name, but they came to him and said, "I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And the demon just laughed and said, "Well, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you?" And they jumped all over them. Lord, that's how we are as Christians today. The world knows Jesus Christ. They know Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, all the folks in the Bible, but they're looking at us and like, but who are you guys? Because you're not making that same sacrifice we saw them make. You're not willing to go all the way like we saw them go all the way. What is this? What kind of religion is this? And that's exactly what Jared said. That's why they call us hypocrites, Lord. And I wish, you know, we've talked about this several times. If we're not going to go all the way, Lord, just help us to go away and shut up.
Amen.
You know, that's the best thing right now, Lord, because with what's happening right now in the world, people need the truth. They need folks that are putting themselves aside and going all out for their souls and for your cause, Lord. And I don't profess to be that, Lord, but you know my heart is there. And I'm not that way right now, Lord. I'm too selfish to be that way. But I'm going to pray and ask you to change me and make me like that, Lord. I'm not going to be content with what I am.
Amen.
And so help these kids to realize that too, Lord. You don't have to be there. Just don't be content with it and ask God to help you, and he'll do it.
Amen.
We love you and thank you. Thank you for just these men that you put in our lives, Lord, that can preach to us and give us the food constantly. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. Thanks, Jared. Good stuff, boy. Yeah. I think I got mostly everybody as far as camp stuff. If you haven't turned something in to me, turn it in.